A man is in critical condition after Fayetteville police say he grabbed a gun while handcuffed in police custody and shot himself. We'll walk you through how investigators say it unfolded.
Rocky Mount sanitation workers are calling for higher pay after raises for police and firefighters. How city leaders here are responding.
Jacket weather is on the way when a cold front will dramatically drop these temperatures into the 40s.
Fayetteville police have identified the man they say shot himself while in handcuffs after they arrested him. 29-year-old Lawrence Artis is in critical condition. Good evening, and thanks for joining us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. The three officers involved have been placed on administrative leave. WREL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays has been sorting through how all of this happened.
So this is a strange scenario here. Fayetteville police call to this parking lot on Cliffdale Road because of shots being fired. When they get here, they find a man with a weapon, so they handcuff him. Somehow, he managed to put his hand in his pocket, according to police, and pull out a weapon and shoot himself.
Because of the investigations that are underway, Fayetteville police aren't commenting much about what they're calling in a press release an in-custody incident. According to police, officers were called to this parking lot Sunday night around 11:30. The city's newly installed gunshot detection system generated a report alerting police. When they arrived, officers located a man, searched him, and found he had a gun. They identified the suspect as a convicted felon. During a second search, police say he managed to pull a gun out of his pocket and shoot himself while handcuffed. Eddie Caldwell is Executive Vice President and General Counsel for the North Carolina Sheriff's Association.
There can be situations where the person being arrested is wearing real baggy clothes. They may have on a big sweatshirt that covers their back pockets. The pants may be baggy. All kinds of things that make it more difficult to make 100% sure you found all weapons.
Caldwell says the average person probably thinks it would be difficult for an officer to search a person and not discover a handgun, but that's not the case.
The average viewer is going to think of a rather large handgun, semi-automatic or a large revolver or something like that. But when you look at Derringers and other 22 caliber pistols, These guns can be very small.
So now we have two investigations going on. Fayetteville Police, Internal Affairs, conducting their own look into the situation. And now the SBI has also been called in to look into the matter. The officers involved have been placed on administrative leave. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
Hello, I'm Mark Boyle in the WREL Live Center. Some new information coming out of Craven County Schools talking about the school there. One of the schools in question is going to have to forfeit their championship because of some issues. On your screen, take a look. This is about New Bern High School. Because of academically ineligible student athletes were permitted to participate in the football team during the fall 2022 season, the New Bern High 2022 football program must forfeit all contests. That includes the state championship. They played against Grimsley there from Greensboro. You might recall this game right here. A big deal there. Now, one of the questions here, a lot of parents, students wondering, well, what exactly happened? A lot of questions can't be answered because of laws regarding to personnel and student confidentiality, but they are saying there was academically ineligible students on the team at the time, and because of that, they are having to forfeit that state title. So certainly a big deal here for those students and one that won't be done just with this announcement. A lot of unanswered questions here this evening. Back to you.
Thank you, Mark. Turning now to breaking news in Wake Forest. A serious crash has closed down part of NC-98 in Wake Forest. WREL's Willie Danley just arrived on scene. Willie, what can you tell us?
Well, Ashley, I'm here on Durham Road in Wake Forest that actually just reopened up moments ago following that crash. Take a look at this footage that I captured right after I arrived. You can see both of those vehicles that were involved in the crash are heavily damaged. There were crews out there cleaning up the street and tow trucks that just took those vehicles away. I did speak to the Wake Forest Public Information Officer, and he did tell me that both drivers of those cars were transported to the hospital. We're still waiting to get word on their condition. And this accident is still under investigation. We're going to continue to follow this and keep you updated with what we find out. Back to you.
Willie Danley, live in Wake Forest. Thank you.
First, police and firefighters got raises. Now sanitation workers in Rocky Mount say it's their turn. However, not all city leaders are supportive of the move. I'm Keenan Willard in Rocky Mount, where sanitation workers are calling on the city for bigger pay raises. Sanitation workers have been calling on the city council for larger pay bumps since April, after the police department's starting salary was raised to $60,000, the highest in the state. Right now, sanitation salaries start at just over $40,000. Sanitation workers say their department is also essential, and they believe they should be paid more as well. Last week, City Councilman Andre Knight motioned to raise sanitation salaries by 15%, but that didn't get enough support to be voted on. WREL asked the city manager for a response to workers' concerns. He says Rocky Mount sanitation workers are paid among the highest in the state and got an average raise of close to $2,500 in this year's budget. He also says they'll get a cost of living raise up to 4% by March. Keenan Willard, WREL News, Rocky Mount.
Some sanitation workers say they are planning a rally for higher pay in front of City Hall a week from tonight. Meantime, over in Durham, sanitation workers there met tonight to discuss a proposed bonus for all city employees. A strike by sanitation workers last month brought new attention to pay levels for city employees. Durham city manager offered a proposal that workers said fell short. Now, she has three new options and will present them at Thursday's city council meeting.
Victims' families say it's a tremendous step forward. Changes to North Carolina's so-called death by distribution law are designed to make it easier to prosecute drug dealers who sell a fatal dose. But some families worry those changes alone aren't enough. WREL's Eric Miller has a story.
It's a painful anniversary for Debbie Peden. Today marks 2 years since she last saw her granddaughter, Ashley, alive.
And little do we know that 6 days later, that she would be gone. And in Ashley's case, she had been left in an apartment. According to the EMS report, it had been at least 13 hours that she lay there on this floor.
In the years since, Peden has been relentless, holding signs in the rain outside the state capitol, showing up at meetings, and reaching out to law enforcement, all to try to raise awareness of the threat of fentanyl and a tool she says prosecutors often fail to use, North Carolina's death by distribution law. But that law got an upgrade last week. Governor Roy Cooper signed on to changes, which officials argue will make it easier for prosecutors to prove death by distribution. The law no longer requires proof drugs were sold to the victim in the case of a fatal overdose, just that those drugs were supplied by the suspect.
It is a game changer. So, yes, that is great news for all of us here in North Carolina who have fought so hard.
Peden isn't the only one who approves of the changes.
This is a beginning.
Jane Coates lost her son, Jeff, to an overdose as well. She says harsher sentences for people providing deadly drugs are a necessary step.
This is what a lot of families are seeking. They're doing it for themselves and for their child that's gone.
But Debbie Peden says there's a catch here. If prosecutors still decline to bring the charges, the changes to the death by distribution law are for nothing, leaving closure further out of reach.
Can't save her life, but we can help save other children's lives.
Eric Miller, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Take a look at this video. This shows you just how much damage a vehicle can do to a building after a vehicle, in this case, ran off the road. This happened this morning in Dunn. Police tell us the driver fell asleep at the wheel and left the road, hitting that building. He was unhurt, which is fortunate, but the building obviously needs quite a bit of work.
Oh, huge amount of damage. A Wake County EMS program that prepares people for jobs as paramedics is getting national recognition. We're talking about Wake County Emergency Medical Services Internal Paramedic Program. This is video of the program's recent training exercise. It's now the first EMS system in our state to receive national accreditation from the Commission on Accreditation of Allied Health Education Programs. This places Wake County among the elite programs in the field of out-of-hospital education.
Computer science is about to become a high school graduation requirement in North Carolina. That is one of 7 bills Governor Roy Cooper signed into law this afternoon. He also signed changes to high school athletics and allowed the state budget to become law without his signature. He vetoed 2 bills citing environmental and racial equality issues.
More delays for Amazon's new planned facility in Johnston County. After the break, when they hope to open and what they say is causing the delays. Plus, today was the first official day of school for Wake County's new superintendent. Coming up, we talk with WREL's Education Insider on his goals and how he plans to make his mark on the system. Kat?
Breaking within the past few minutes here in the Live Center, that Amber Alert out of New York has been canceled. Good news, 9-year-old Charlotte Senna has been found and she is in good health, according to investigators. This is the update right here in blue highlighted. The Amber Alert has been canceled. Charlotte has been found safe and in good health. We are being told a suspect is in custody. She was last seen on Saturday there in that campground and her family feared that she was abducted. So how all of this unfolded, who is the suspect, where was she the past couple of days in the evenings? All of that information expected to come out later this evening as New York State investigators are expected to give an update. But the big news here, Charlotte Senna found safe in good health here tonight. Back to you.
Such good news. Thanks, Mark. A traffic alert to tell you about that might impact your drive this week. The ramp from I-440 to Wade Avenue is closed until next Monday. Crews rolled out the barriers on Friday night. A detour will direct you to take the Lake Boone Trail exit to reach Blue Ridge Road, where you will then access Wade Avenue again. The DOT expects the road to be open in time for Monday morning commute.
Wake County Public Schools' newest leader started his job today, hitting the ground running, visiting students, and answering some pretty tough questions as well. WRL's Emily Walkenhorst spent the morning with Robert Taylor, joins us now. Thanks for joining us. So, Superintendent, Wake County Schools, this is a giant job. Is he trying to make his mark in a specific way? What are his plans and what can people expect as he's getting started?
Right, so Superintendent Taylor really sees this job as an opportunity to make a mark. Wake County's a big school system, so that comes with big opportunities. So he'd really like to see, you know, what he can do with the school system to become a model for other schools. You know, some of the differences you might see at the beginning might be a little smaller. He considers listening to be his number one priority right now because he has to find out what's going on in every school. But after a while, you know, he's fairly ambitious. He wants to see if the Wake County school system can be something people look to and say, hey, we've got to do that too.
When I'm listening to some of the friends in my group and the parents and what they're talking about, a lot of them have safety as something that's really at the top of their list. And I'm sure he's hearing a lot of that too. Is there something specific with his safety plan that people in the county can expect to see as we move forward?
So he is hearing a lot about safety. I asked him what he was hearing about most, and safety was one of those things that he said he's definitely hearing a lot about. He says it's a top priority for him. What that looks like, we're going to have to kind of wait and see. We know the school system under previous leadership was not interested in doing metal detectors, for example. We know those have kind of limited effectiveness. They can be effective for very specific things, but not necessarily for everything. And so, you know, we know there's going to be some physical security projects coming up. We don't have a lot of details on what those will be, but there's an ongoing audit of safety in the school system, so we know there's going to be more.
We know also that he wants to travel around and go to every single school in the district. Wake County is one of the biggest school districts in the country. So many schools have different communities with different identities and different desires for the way they want things to happen. What is he expecting to learn as he goes from school to school? And that's a big job as well. That's going to take a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's also one of the biggest counties geographically, I believe, in North Carolina. So he's got a lot of different communities to visit and, you know, schools with lots of different types of students, with lots of different needs, schools that have different types of programming are at different places in terms of academic achievement. And so he's really just going to be listening to a lot of people experiencing very different circumstances, perhaps, hearing from them about what they think their school's needs. He's going to get a lot of feedback from that to think about.
Is there a way parents can give specific feedback, things that they think he should be considering?
Yeah, so there's actually going to be an opportunity coming up. I don't believe anything's been scheduled just yet, but they will have some listening sessions with the superintendent. He will have some hosted throughout the county, and he'd like to have those done this school year where he can just hear concerns from people in the community.
Okay. Emily Walkenhorst with the latest. That is what is going to be happening with the superintendent. Of course, we will watch his travels along the way and continue to ask those questions. Emily, thank you.
The new opening of the new Amazon facility in Smithfield won't open until next year. Tonight, Johnston County commissioners are voting to adjust a deal that struck with Amazon back in 2021. The incentives package gave Amazon tax breaks in exchange for a $100 million investment and 500 new jobs. The goal then was to launch the facility last fall. Amazon says it should be good to go by this spring, the company blaming several factors, including inflation and supply chain problems. Raleigh is making plans to vacuum your leaves this fall.
Here we are. It's that time of year. So pickup starts October 30th this year. Pickup will start on the south side of town this year in the gray area that you see down at the bottom of the map. The vacuum trucks will move clockwise around the city. You can find out when trucks are expected in your zone on the city's homepage. So just log on to check that out. If you don't want to wait, you can always fill your yard waste container bags and leave the leaves outside for that collection. But here we are. It is fall. And then soon it will be winter. The DBAP will be transforming also into Woolies Winter Wonderland, bringing joy and holiday fun to families and friends across our viewing area.
It all happens November 22nd through New Year's Eve. You can enjoy shopping, get your picture with Santa, or take a ride on the holiday train. To purchase tickets, visit DurhamBulls.com. You know, one of my favorite things about this newscast is that it falls just around the time of the sunset. Look at this beautiful image from Lake Gaston.
How about the two folks just sitting right there?
I think we're kind of interrupting their nice moment here.
They're having like this little romantic thing, and we're just right there. Listen, we can't listen. Turn up the mic, will you? Let's hear what they were talking about. Kat Campbell joining us now. How about that site? That's pretty nice.
Oh, man. I mean, that's a beautiful place to be on the pier there at the Point Restaurant or on that boat that's driving by. I mean, it would have been a great day to be on a boat. It was warm this afternoon. Temperatures reached the low to mid 80s. And look at the sunset from North Hills. Also beautiful this evening. We have some nice nights ahead. Tonight, the low is 59, a little bit above our normal low of 57 this time of year. As we get into Wednesday, Thursday, we stay in the 50s, but it's brief in the morning. And then Friday and Saturday, we will temporarily see those numbers going up before they come crashing down on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, lows will fall into the upper 40s here locally, near 50 in Rocky Mount and Fayetteville. But check out Boone, 36 degrees, 43 in Greensboro, 49 in Charlotte as well. It is going to be a frigid start. It's a long ways away Sunday morning, but these are the coolest temperatures that we've seen since early to mid-May. So, you know, it's been a while since we've adjusted to those cool temperatures, and it really should help to get our fall color going, especially in the mountains with those temperatures in the 30s and low 40s. Grandfather Mountain starting to show some hints of color here and there, but certainly not at peak just yet. Once we see those chilly temperatures over the weekend, I think next week we're really going to start to see the fall color taking off. Even into next weekend. We've got patchy color above 4,000 feet right now, below 4,000 feet. It's, you know, a tree here and there, maybe the tops of it starting to change, but not much just yet. Here's the cold front that brings the big cool down for us over the weekend. It's still well to our west. It actually brought some snow to parts of Colorado and Utah. We won't see any of that, but we are certainly going to see the cooler air. 59 tomorrow morning really shouldn't be too bad. If you get chilly easily, you may want a light layer, but it would be temporarily. The sunshine's definitely going to be warming up. If you're headed out for your dog walk in the afternoon, instead, it'll be warm, 82, especially if you're in the sunshine. It's that kind of weather with the low humidity and the sunshine and temperatures in the 80s where it just feels completely different if you're in the shade or the sun. So if you're going to be out tomorrow afternoon, it'll be pretty warm. And over the next 3 days, we've got more 80s ahead. High temperatures stay in the lower 80s until Thursday. And then it's after Thursday that we begin to see signs of a change on the way. One of those signs will come in the form of cloud cover Friday. We are mostly cloudy Friday, and there is a small chance for rain Friday late into early Saturday. It looks like it's going to be a low impact rain right now. We may need to bump up rain chances to 30% either Friday night or Saturday. So just keep that in mind as we get into Sunday. That's when you're going to notice the chill, 68 degrees. We wake up to temperatures in the upper 40s that morning. And then by Monday morning of next week, all the way down to 46 degrees at the bus stop for the kids. So fall is definitely coming this way. It's going to be feeling more like late October than the start of the month.
All right. Well, here it is. Thanks, Kat.
More than $1 billion is up for grabs in tonight's Powerball.
We'll tell you what your actual chances are of hitting that jackpot. You got a chance. All right. It's not great, but... Plus, we're going to talk about somebody who won Saturday night in North Carolina's latest millionaire when we come back.
Let's check in on our favorite
couple. They're
Look
up now.
Look at them now. Oh, I feel so bad. They don't know they're on live television.
You know what?
Here
what
we are.
What a cute sight. Beautiful sunset.
Just a great night
all,
for
them. They're thinking to themselves, all alone on the dock. Not a soul in sight.
Oh, little do they know it's a public display
Only
of affection.
Only thousands of people watching you. All right. Enjoy, folks. So we now know the name of the North Carolina Ian.
North Carolinian.
There you go.
There we go.
Well, they don't mind that I messed it up because they're a millionaire now.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Robert Cremel of Middlesex paid for a $3 Power Play ticket and won $2 million in Saturday night's Powerball drawing. Cremel bought the ticket at the Murphy Express on Gannon Avenue in Zebulon. The ticket matched the numbers on all five white balls. Cremel says he chose the numbers from his kids' and grandkids' birthdays. Clearly good days. Mm-hmm. He claimed his prize today, saying he plans to use the money to help his family.
Way to go.
Tonight's Powerball jackpot is one of the biggest in the lottery's history.
Huge grand prize, more than $1 billion. Could grow even more before tonight's drawing. No one matched all the numbers on Saturday, so you still have the chance to become a billionaire if you'd like. If you hit, your cash take home, if you want the cash, you're not going to be quite a billionaire. You're only going to be worth $480 million.
Boy.
You'll be okay. The drawing is tonight at 11 o'clock, live right here on WREL.
These numbers are just getting
I know.
So
it's a lot
huge.
Of money.
Hollywood writers back on the job, so are the late night hosts.
Tonight on WREL, The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and Late Night with Seth Meyers. They will return with all new episodes. That starts tonight at 11:30 right here on WREL. I'm glad everyone's back to work.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks for making WREL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 on WREL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.